The shiur tonight is on this week's parsha, which is Parshas Bishalach, and the title of the shiur is The Test of the Mon. This week is my bar mitzvah parsha, and I elected not to use my bar mitzvah speech, but instead we're going to focus on the philosophy of the mon. Really want to understand why the mon was given, what the idea behind the mon is. There's an interesting pasuk within the psukim of the mon that I want to address. So we're going to look at Rashi's approach, the Ramban, and if we have time, we'll also look at the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim and try to understand the philosophy of the mon and what it really meant to Klal Yisrael. So if we look in the psukim, we'll go through Rashi first. And the psukim starts in Shmos Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Aleph. I'm going to read through all the psukim, give a summary, and then ask the questions. And if anybody has any questions, please ask. So we'll start with source number one, Pasuk Aleph. It says, Vayisu me'elim, Klal Yisrael, they left this place called Elim. Vayavo klal das b'nei Yisrael amid bar sin, asher b'nei Elim uvein Sinai, b'chamisha asar yom l'chodesh hasheni l'teisam me'eret Mitzrayim. So the Jewish people, they left Elim and they went into the desert. And when they were in the desert, it was the 15th day of Iyar, the 15th day of the second month from leaving Mitzrayim. What happened? Vayilonu klal das b'nei Yisrael al Moshe v'al Aharon b'midbar. The Jewish people, they complain when they get into the desert. Vayomru alehem b'nei Yisrael mi'itain musenu b'yad ad Hashem b'yaretz Mitzrayim b'shivtenu al sir basar b'ochlenu lechem lasova ki hotzeisem osanu el hamidbar hazeh lamis es kol hakahal hazeh bara'av. The b'nei Yisrael, they complain and they say that we were better off in Mitzrayim. We had meat there. We had bread that satisfied us. And it's better off that we would have stayed there than go into the midbar and die out of starvation. So if you look in Pasuk Dalet, it's bolded. It says, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, hineni mamtir lachem lechem min hashamayim v'yatzo amulak tud varyom biyomo leman anasenu hayelech bisorasi imlo." So Hashem says to Moshe, "I'm going to bring down bread from the heavens, and the Jewish people will go out and collect it in order that I test him if they'll follow in the path of the Torah, and if not, in lo." And then in Hey it says, "Vayal b'yom ha'shishi ve'echinu es asher yaviu v'yal mishneh al asher yilketu yom yom." And also on the sixth day, they would go out and collect, and they would get double the normal amount so that they would have more for Shabbos. So these psukim are really introducing the mon, and how is the mon introduced? B'nai Yisrael, they go into the midbar, they experience a lack of food in the midbar, a lack of food, of lechem, and they complain to Moshe and Aaron. And Hashem says in Dalet, he says, "I'm going to bring down this bread from the Shemayim, from the heavens, and the people will collect it, leman anasenu, in order that I test him, ha'ilech b'sorasi imlo." And anasenu is test him, but him is referring to Klal Yisrael. And the last pasuk is on Shabbos, they would get double. So what's the question on this piece, on these psukim? So the main question of the shiur that we're going to address and look at from the perspective of Rashi, the Ramban, and the Rambam, hopefully, if we get to it, is that pasuk Dalet. It says that Hashem's going to bring down Olechem from the Shemayim, which is the Mon, but he says, Leman Anasenu, in order that I test him, meaning Klal Yisrael, whether they'll follow in the path of the Torah or not. So what does that have to do with the Mon? The fact of this test, what is this test? What's the nature of this test? And what does the test of the Mon have to do with following the Torah, following the laws of the Torah? It's a very odd pasuk. So that's really the main question of the shiur, the main topic of the shiur, the test of the Mon. What is the nature of the test of the Mon? But through it, we can gain insight into the whole purpose of the structure of the Mon and why it was set up in the way that it was and what benefit it would give Klal Yisrael. So we look at Rashi. I think we need to get some background information on the nature of the Mon. So let's look at Rashi. It gives us some of the facts. And then we'll look at Rashi's approach in specific to the idea of the test of the Mon. So look in source number two. It's Pasuk Aleph. It says, B'chamisha asar yom. It was the 15th day of Iyar. And what happened? Nisparish hayom shel chaniya zu. Why is this day singled out? Lefi shebo biyom kalsa hacharara shotziu mimitzrayim behutzrichu l'mon. At this point, they ran out of bread from Mitzrayim, and they needed the mon. So the reason why the Torah is specifying this day is because this was the day that they actually needed the mon. They ran out of food. Lamanu she'achlu mishiyari habatzek mishiyari hamatzah shishim achas seudos. This teaches you that they were able to sustain themselves off the matzah for 61 meals. V'yarad lahem mon b'shisha asar b'iyar v'yom rishon b'shabbos haya. And the month started on the 16th day of Iyar, which was on a Sunday. Kedi'isa b'masecha Shabbos. Okay, so just factually, the month started. I'm not really going to ask any questions, just I feel like we should get a little bit of background about the month. So the first piece of information about the month is that it started on the 16th day of Iyar, and the reason why it started at that point was that was when Klal Yisrael ran out of food, and they complained to Moshe and Aaron, and at that point, that's when the month started falling. And where was their complaint? If you look in Gimel and Rashi, it says, "Mi tein musenu shenamos," that we would have died. It would have been better had we died. The eno shame davar kmo musenu ela kmo asosenu. It's not a noun, but it's like asosenu are doing. Chanosenu shuvenu la asosanachnu lachanosanachnu lamosanachnu. That it would have been better had we died. Vitargumo levai de misna kmo lu masnu halavai vahinu mesim. It would have been great had we been killed, had we died. Okay, fine. So let's go on. Look, I'm in Dalet in Rashi. So the background information is that the month started on the 16th day of Iyar, and Bnei Yisrael are complaining, and they're saying that they would have rather died than been in the situation where they were so hungry and they needed food. Dvar Yom B'Yomo in Dalet, he says, Tzorech Achilas Yom, Yilketu B'Yomo, V'lo Yilketu Hayom, L'Tzorech Machar. And part of the structure of the month was that the Jewish people could only collect for that day, but they could not collect for the day after. And we'll explain what that means. And if you go on, it says, Laman anasenu hayilech b'sorasi. This is the key idea in Rashi that I want to focus on. It says, what does it mean that the month was a test for Klal Yisrael, whether they would walk in the path of the Torah? It's the bold. It's a number two. In Yishmeru mitzvos hatluyos bo. If Klal Yisrael follow the mitzvos that are dependent on the mon, there were two mitzvos. Shelo yosiru mimenu. One mitzvah was that they were not allowed to leave it over for the next day. Velo yatsu b'shabbos lokot. And the other mitzvah attached to the mon was that they not go out on Shabbos to collect the mon. So Rashi is giving us a little bit of an approach to what the nature of the test of the mon was. What's the test of the mon? The test of the mon was, could Klal Yisrael follow the mitzvos attached to the mon? What are the mitzvos attached to the mon? One is that they couldn't leave it over to the next day. They could only collect for that day. And the second mitzvah was that there was a prohibition for them to go out on Shabbos and to collect the mon. Okay, so why is this question, the question on this Rashi is, why is this so critical in terms of the mon? Why is this such a key element, the mitzvos of the mon? Why not just give the mon? Why mention this idea of the test? What does it have to do with... Or why is it significant in terms of the mon itself? The fact that they had these two mitzvos. Okay? So that's the main question. What's the significance of the two mitzvos of the mon? The fact that they couldn't leave it over and they couldn't go out on Shabbos? And why this test? Why is this a test for Klal Yisrael? What's the purpose of this test? Okay? So we'll leave off with that question. And we're going to explore that question in a deeper way. Let's just go on to Hay and Rashi. On Shabbos, on Shishi, they got double. V'hayom mishneh liyom ulamacharos, they would get double for that day and for the next day, on Friday and for Shabbos. And Rashi explains that in the last Rashi, mishneh, it didn't mean that they actually collected double, but they would collect the same amount, and then when they got home, it appeared that they had more. They had double. Al shayu regilim lilkot yom yom shal shari mosas shavua. Normally, they would collect each day, but on Shishi, it was different. The Omer ani asher yaviu v'haya mishneh la'achar sheyaviu yimtzu mishneh b'medida al asher yilketu v'yamodu yom yom. They would bring the mon home on Friday and they found that they had double. V'zehu laktu lecha mishneh b'likitaso ha'nimtza lecha mishneh. In collecting it, they found that they had double the amount. V'zehu al kenhu nosin lecham b'yom ha'shishi lechem yomayim nosin lechem bracha poshan shafa b'vayis l'malos ha'omer pa'mayim l'lechem yomayim. Fine, so the last Rashi is just explaining that on Shabbos they had double, they collected on Friday and they found that they had double. Okay, so background information, the month started on the 16th of Iyar, that the Klal Yisrael complained so much that they wanted to die. Then Hashem says, I'm going to give you the month in order to test you. And what was the test? The test was based on the mitzvos that were tzluyos bo. The two mitzvos of shelo yosiru mimenu v'lo yatsu b'Shabbos loko. So again, the questions are, what's the purpose of this test? Why is this test significant? And also, why attach these mitzvos to the mon? Just give the mon to Klal Yisrael. What's the significance of this test? Okay. Anybody else have any other questions on this piece, on the Rashi's or on the Psukim that they want to answer or that want to be answered? Okay, good. So that's the main idea. The main question is, what's the nature of the test of the mon? How does it fit into the whole philosophy of the mon? So if you look before, when was the Torah given yet or not? So the answer is that the Torah was not given yet. And I want to try to understand Hayilech Besorasi, that the purpose of the Mon was somehow attached to keeping the mitzvos of the Mon. The Jewish people already had some mitzvos. So this strengthens the question, why now give them these other mitzvos attached to the Mon? Where do they get mitzvos? So if you look at number 3 in Shemos Perek Tesvav, right before this piece, the Jewish people went to Mara. Mara, the story of Mara is that the water was very bitter there, and the Jewish people went there, and in that place, there's a couple of psukim that indicate that the Jewish people received mitzvos already in the past, before this point. So if you look at number 3, this is source number 3, it's Chaf Hei. Vayitzakel Hashem, vayareu Hashem eitz, vayashlich el amayim, vayimtiku amayim, sham sam lo chukum mishpat v'sham nisau. Hashem showed Moshe this tree, and he threw the tree into the water, and it sweetened the water, and there he established chuk and mishpat, and there he tested it. Once again, we find a similar idea that Hashem, we're going to explain what that means, but there was a test going on by Mara. And then it goes on, Chavav, Vayomer, Imshamo, Tishma, Lekol Hashem, Elkecha, Vayashar, Beinav, Taasev, Hazan, Talam, Mitzvosov, Vishamarta, Kol Chukav, Kol Amachalash, Yersamti, Bimtraim, Loasim, Alecha, Ki Ani Hashem, Rofecha. Hashem says that if you follow all the mitzvos, and you do the right thing, so you'll be protected from disease, all the diseases of Mitzrayim. So once again, right before this instance of the Mon, we find another situation where the Jewish people were tested, and they were also given Torah as well in this situation. So if you look at number 4, I actually left out a Rashi. I'm going to read the Rashi inside, and it's going to help us understand the concept of the test of the Mon. But if we look in number 4, it's the Rashi right before. So Rashi says, Visham Nisahu. What does it mean that there he tested it? I'm looking in the Rashi, 1 second. Have it inside. He says, Visham Nisahu L'om. There he tested the people, meaning Hashem tested the people by not giving them water in Mara. V'ra'ak she'orpo. And what did he see? He saw that the people were very stiff-necked. They were very rebellious. Shelo nimlechu b'moshe b'malashon yafeh. They didn't ask for water properly. Bakesh aleinu rachamim she'yelanu mayim lishtos ela nisloninu. They didn't ask Moshe properly, and they didn't say to Moshe, you should daven to Hashem, but rather, they ended up being very disrespectful to Moshe and asking for the water. So we see, once again, this is part of the question, we see a consistent pattern or theme that Rashi brings out and also is brought on in the Psukim that Hashem is testing Klal Yisrael. Because Rashi mentions also by Mara the idea that the Jewish people could not have water right away was that it was a test for them to see how they would react, and they don't react properly. So once again, we see this idea of a test. So why is Hashem constantly testing Klal Yisrael? What's the purpose of the test? What's the benefit of the test? What's the idea of the test? Just give them the water. Why test them? What do they gain by being tested? And what was the Torah given there also? Number 4, Rashi, it says, Sham Sam Lo, Bimara Nasan Lahem Mitzas Parshio Shel Torah Sheis Askubahem, Shabbos Upara Aduma Vedinin. In Mara, which was before our instance of the Mon, they're already given aspects of the Torah. They're given Shabbos, they're given Para Aduma, and they're given Dinin, which are the Mishpatim, the laws of how the court system works. So the Jewish people already received mitzvos. So now this strengthens the question, what does it mean that the Mon was an idea in Hayelech Besorasi Imlo? Will they follow my Torah or not? They already had aspects of the Torah. They already had Shabbos. They already had Parah Aduma. They already had Dinin. They already had mitzvos. So why is Hashem adding these new mitzvos in to test them once again? What's the idea of the test, and why is he adding in new mitzvos if they already had mitzvos that would demonstrate whether they could follow the Torah or not? Okay, is this clear? Does anybody want me to repeat it? I need somebody on the phone line to give me some feedback here. So somebody turn off their mute button.
Can you repeat it one more time?
Yeah, sure. So there's really one main question. The one question is that the Torah says that the Mon was a test for Klal Yisrael, whether they would follow the path of the Torah and be able to follow the mitzvos of the Torah. And Rashi explains that the nature of the test was tied to the mitzvos of the Mon. And there are two mitzvos of the Mon. One was that they couldn't leave it over for the next day, and the other is that they couldn't go out on Shabbos to collect it. So the question is, why is there a test? Why is Hashem testing Klal Yisrael with the Mon or through the Mon? What's the benefit of the test? Why test Klal Yisrael at all? So what's that idea? What's the concept behind the test of the Mon? And the second is that they already received mitzvos of the Torah. So what does it mean in the pasuk by the man, ha'ilech besorasim lo? I'm going to see if they can follow the path of the Torah and keep the Torah or not. They already had aspects of the Torah. Hashem could see from the past, from Mara, whether they keep the Torah or not. So what's the man adding? What idea is the man expressing and saying, ha'ilech besorasim lo? Is it clear?
I just had just an idea.
Go ahead.
I'm not sure if it's way off base, but I know, like, perhaps Hashem is just testing them, maybe to continue to basically weed out, let's say, you know, like, a lot of them still had, like, the slave mentality or something, so maybe he just wanted to weed out, like, this group to see who was able to kind of be at the situation where they could receive the Torah.
Okay. All right, excellent. But we don't see anybody really being killed here at this situation. I mean, what do you mean by weed out?
I mean, like...
But it's good... Yeah.
I didn't think about it more.
Okay, it's a good approach.
I think he's trying to pinpoint some characteristic that might still be within them from Mitzrayim, and I guess it needs to be something that may be controlled or even gotten rid of in order for them to move to the next step. So this is kind of like a stepping stone, not necessarily a test, more like a stepping stone, or like a way to kind of get rid of some aspect that maybe they were holding on to from Mitzrayim.
Okay, all right, I like that approach. Okay, good. So let's go a little bit further, deeper into this, and I think we'll come out with, something similar. So what were the two mitzvahs? Again, what were the two mitzvahs of the man? One mitzvah was that they weren't allowed to leave it over to the next day, and the other mitzvah was that they couldn't go out and collect it. And were they able to keep those two mitzvahs? Does anybody know the answer? Were they able to keep those mitzvahs? So the answer is no, they were not. In the Parsha, later on in the Parsha, we see that they failed in both respects. In number 5, in Shmos Perek Tazayin, in Yotes, source number 5, it says, "Vayomer Moshe alehem ish al yoser mimenu ad boker." Moshe said to them clearly, "Do not leave over to the next day, to the morning." "Velo shamu al Moshe vayosiru anashim mimenu ad boker vayarum tolaim vayivash vayitzof alehem Moshe." So what happened was they didn't listen to Moshe. They left over for the next day, and it ended up getting wormy, and it ended up getting, it stunk. It didn't smell very good, and Moshe gets angry at them. So one of the mitzvos that Rashi is pointing out that was a key element of the mon, it wasn't kept by the people. I mean, Rashi over there says it was Dasan Vaviram, those were the Anashim, but the pshat is that it was referring to a lot of the people. So they couldn't keep that. So they failed in terms of not being able to prevent themselves from leaving over to the morning. They failed in that respect, and in fact, the mon ended up spoiling, and Moshe gets angry. What about going out on Shabbos? Were they able to do that? Were they able to fulfill that? No, they were not. Once again, look at number 6. Number 6 in the Psukim. It says, "Vayomer Moshe, ichlu hayom, ki shabbas hayom la'ashem, hayom lo simtza'u basadeh." Moshe says, eat it today, because it's Shabbos, and you're not going to find the mon out in the field. "Sheshes yamim tukatu, vayom ashvi shabbas lo yebo." You collect the mon for 6 days, and on Shabbos, it's not going to be there. "Vayhi vayom ashvi yatsu min ha'am lo'ko v'lo matzo." And then the people, they went out, yatsu min ha'am lo'ko, to collect it on Shabbos, and they didn't find it. "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe ad ana me'antem lishmor mitzvosai v'sorasai." And Hashem gets angry, and he says, "How long do the people, are they going to refuse to observe my commandments?" So we see that the two mitzvos that Rashi is pointing out that were so essential to the test of the mon, the people failed in those two mitzvos. They weren't able, at least initially, they weren't able to not leave over till the morning, even though Moshe told them right before, "Do not leave over till the morning." And the second one, which was not to go out on Shabbos, they couldn't listen to that either. And they didn't. They weren't able to keep that as well. So they basically fail the test. But yet, Hashem still gives them the Torah, right? It says, "Laman anasenu hayelech besorasi imlo." The test was, can they keep these two mitzvos? And the answer is no, they cannot. But he still gives them the Torah. This is before Har Sinai. So the question, I think in order to understand Rashi's perspective, we have to understand the basic idea as to why the people cannot keep these two mitzvahs, and what's the difference between the first mitzvah and the second mitzvah. Okay, so let me ask the people on the phone line, the women on the phone line, why do you think that, why was it so difficult for the people to keep these two mitzvahs? One was the idea of not leaving over to the morning, and the other one was to not go out on Shabbos. What was so difficult about it?
Because because that meant that they were like having total faith and trust in Hashem, and they'll have more the next day. But if they want to sort of have a role in their food for the next day, they would feel worried. So just
exactly, exactly, excellent. Who's that in the background?
That's William.
Oh, okay. No, so exactly what Emily's saying is exactly true. That. See, what it was that they were in the desert, they didn't have any food, and they were very fearful. They had a lot of anxiety about their survival. If you don't have food, you can't survive. And the idea of leaving it over to the next morning is to ensure that you have food the next morning, because let's say the mon doesn't fall. And the idea of the mon, one of the main ideas or the key points that Emily's pointing out, is that the people had to have some security. They had to place their security in Hashem in order to be able to accept the fact that they would get it the next day. And the fact that they weren't able to do that, and the reason why is because they were so afraid of not being able to survive and not having food to survive. That was the first idea, or that was one of the ideas as to why they couldn't keep these mitzvos. They were very difficult mitzvos. In fact, Rashi says it. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that they're perhaps more anxious than you or I might have been had we been in that situation, because since they were slaves in Mitzrayim and day-to-day weren't sure of their survival there, Yes. Sometimes that habits or those feelings stay with you.
Correct, yes. So you're very into this slave mentality approach.
They were even more so fragile.
Yes, I agree with you.
That particular thing.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you. They're very fragile. You're asking a people who have a slave mentality, as Debbie pointed out, to put all their security in Hashem and not be concerned about their own survival, because they needed bread to survive. And you're asking them, A, to not leave over in the morning. That's an idea of accepting the fact that their security is in Hashem and not, you know, being afraid and not, you know, and not saving for the next morning because they didn't think that they would get it the next morning. And look at number seven. Rashi kind of... Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, it reminds me of how... Some Holocaust survivors, even after the war, at night still sleep with bread by their bed.
Correct.
They have such a built-in habit of insecurity about not being able to survive the next day.
Yes, correct. You're right. So it's very exactly the same.
Why would it be set out as like a test if they're not gonna?
Good question. That's one of the questions that we have to answer. So why set it up as a test if they would not be able to fulfill the key points or the key aspects of the test? Good. Yeah, so
But isn't it, I mean, wouldn't the fact that they saw the splitting of the sea, like, I mean, was it, did they just think it was a natural occurrence, that, or did they really know that God did that? Or did they think he just did it once and now he might not do it again and help?
I mean, it's easy to say that they saw the Yamsuf, but imagine you didn't have any food and it's very scary. I mean, to not have any food and every single day you have to bank on this, on the food falling when you've never seen this before in your life. I mean, it was a very scary type of proposition.
No, but I'm just saying, like, wouldn't they trust this God that did this for them, and he's now saying, you can trust me, you'll have food? Like, why wouldn't they trust after they saw this?
Well, there's two. Either you could say that the emotions wore off, and I guess their survivalist, their primitive survivalist emotions, they took over, and they couldn't control themselves. I mean, I think you're underestimating the fear of death and the fear of lack of existence in this situation. I think it's very difficult, and I think that Yom Suf happened before in the past, and they could put it behind them, and the emotions wore down.
Is this the same generation that saw
Yom Suf? Yeah, it's right after Yom Suf. They went to Mara, and then that was the first test. Right after Yom Suf, they went to Mara. They had the water, the bitter water. They failed that test.
What I'm asking is that you know how like some historians say it happened like as a, you know, you could say it was a hurricane or it was a this or that. Like, did some of those people think that, or did they all know that it was God's hand?
No, I think they knew it was God's hand, it was Hashem's hand, because you see in the Psukim that it seems that way, that they saw this revelation of Hashem in some sense, and they were sure of it. But still, you can't underestimate the power of emotions. And yes, it was a very emotional experience. Yom Suf, there was Shira there, and they definitely saw insights into Hashem. But afterwards, it died down. And once the emotions die down, and now you're afraid to survive, you don't have any water, you don't have any lechem, now you're back to square, you know, you're back to the beginning, back to the drawing board.
Right.
But it's a good question. But I think that's the only way to answer it, that really the emotions of Yom Suf must have died down And they were stuck in there, and they were in this situation where they couldn't really control their fear, their anxiety. And if Rashi says,
okay, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Look at number 7 in Rashi about going out on Shabbos. He says this. He says, "Vayomer Moshe ichlu hayom ki Shabbos hayom." Moshe told them before they went out on Shabbos. He said, "Listen, you can't go out on Shabbos. You should eat it today because today is Shabbos." Shacharis shahayu regilim latzeis velokot. It was in the morning, and they used to go out in the morning, and it was Shabbos morning. Bo lishol im neitzeim lav. They went to ask Moshe, "Should we go out or not?" Amar lahem es shebiyedchem achlu. He said, "No, eat what you have." La'erev chazru lefana v'shaluhu mahu latzeis. So in the evening, towards the end of Shabbos, they wanted to go out again. They were very nervous. Amar lahem Shabbos hayom. He said to them, "Today's Shabbos. You still can't go out and collect." Ra osam doagim shama pasak aman v'lo yered od. He saw that they were very afraid that the man would not fall. Amar lahem ayom lo simtza uhu. Moshe said that you're not going to find it in the field today. Hayom. Why does it say hayom? Hayom lo simtza'u aval machar simtza'u. You will find it tomorrow, but not today. But yet the people could not tolerate that idea. They couldn't tolerate. Moshe told them, listen, don't collect it today. You'll get it tomorrow. But nevertheless, they still went out to collect it, and they couldn't tolerate it, and they had to go out and collect the mon. So we see from Rashi that the fear was that they wouldn't get it the next day. And we see that in both mitzvos, by the idea of not saving for the next day, it was an idea of putting their trust and security in Hashem, that they would get it the next day, and also Shabbos. They didn't get it on Shabbos, and they were nervous that the mon had stopped. And that's why they went out. And that's why they went out to collect. So the first point in Rashi, and I think a lot of the Rishonim agree with this, I think it's the most basic idea of mon, is the concept that the purpose of the mon, a significant concept in the mon, is the idea that Klal Yisrael put their most basic level of survival and basic need for survival and place those emotions and that security in Hashem. And that was the idea of the mon, but they were unable to do that by the mon. At least initially, they were unable to do that. So what's the, I think Naomi asked before, then what's the purpose of the test? We see that they were tested by Mara. We see that they're tested over here by the Mon. So what is the idea of the test? Especially since it says, Hayelech Besorasi Yimlo, which sounds like it's somehow connected to following the Torah in general, not just this Torah. And even though Rashi says it means the mitzvos atzlios bo, but Betorasi also means the whole Torah. It was somehow some preparation or some test whether they can keep the Torah or not. So what is it, why test the Klal Yisrael in this situation? What's the significance of the test? And we see also before by Mara, what was the nature of the test of the water? It's very similar. It's a very similar type of test. The Jewish people had just finished Yam Suf. They just seen the splitting of the waters. And now they're going to this place where they don't have water and the water's all bitter. And the test is, can they place their security in a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Can they say to Moshe, as Rashi said before, properly, can you be mispalo to Hashem to give us water or not? And you see from the fact that they failed that they weren't able to do that. So what is the purpose? According to Rashi, what's the purpose of the test? He tells us the main idea of the mon, but he doesn't really give us so much insight into the purpose of the test. So here I think we can give different ideas or different possibilities as to what the idea of the test was. And the one idea that I was thinking of, and I wanted to give as a possibility for Rashi, is this. That this was before the Torah, and you see the Torah was given at Har Sinai, and it was given after this point. And this, we're still in ER here, before the Torah was given. So prior to the Torah was given, the Jewish people are exposed to certain mitzvos. In Mara, we saw that they were exposed to Shabbos, Paraduma, and Dinin, which I think are basic categories of mitzvos. You know, Dinin are, you know, Mishpatim and Chukos. A Chok is Paraduma, is the paradigm of a Chok. And Shabbos is Eidos. It's an idea and testimony that Hashem had created the world. So the Klal Yisrael, they were exposed to Torah before this. And Mara, they were exposed to Torah. But one of the ideas of mitzvos, one of the main purposes of mitzvos, is that Klal Yisrael be able to perfect themselves, their emotions, their psyches, their whole personalities, and devote themselves to Hashem. And the idea of putting your security in Hashem and recognizing that your whole existence is dependent on Hashem is an idea that's present in mitzvos. We see it in other mitzvos. I think the most obvious mitzvah that we see this concept in is tefillah. In tefillah, every single day, we recognize that our existence is dependent on Hashem, and that without Hashem, we cease to exist. We need Him for our existence, and that's something that we recognize, you know, by tefillah every single day. Same thing by sukkos. By sukkos, we recognize also that when we sleep in the sukkah, we put our protection, our security in Hashem. But these mitzvos aman are in a much higher level. It's a much stronger need to place your security in Hashem when it comes to your most basic element of survival. And although tefillah, we talk about it, we discuss it, but from a practical standpoint, it's very hard to feel on a daily basis that I need it, that I'm dependent completely on a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the way that the people in the Midbar felt through the Mon and through Mara. So I think the concept, and this is the approach that I was toying with before, is that prior to giving the Torah and prior to giving Klal Yisrael mitzvos, Hashem was testing to see the capacity of man, the capacity of Klal Yisrael, in terms of their ability to place their security in Hashem. What is their capacity? How far can they go in terms of placing their security in Hashem? And I think this was critical in terms of the system of Torah and developing, although there are many midrashim that say that the Torah was created before, you know, the world was created, it could be that Medrash is referring to the general principles of Torah, but in terms of the specifics of the mitzvos, it could be that the way that the Klal Yisrael reacted to the Mon and to Mara, it would affect the nature of the system that was given to them in specific. And the idea of the test is that the test is, it's testing the limits of man's capacity to endure this idea of security, to place their security in God to in the utmost sense. And they fail in each regard. But on the one hand, they fail, and that was the test. Could they endure this? Can this be part of the Torah system? Can these mitzvos like these be part of the Torah system? We have mitzvos like them. We have tefillah, we have sukkos, but not to this extent. This extent is very severe for Klal Yisrael to think every single day and to recognize from a practical standpoint how dependent they are on Hashem for their survival, that they couldn't tolerate. It was too difficult for them to tolerate. So the idea of the test, Laman Anasenu, both tests, one test was by Mara, by the water, and the other test was by the Mon, they're both tied to the idea of Klal Yisrael placing their security in Hashem and recognizing that their survival is tied to Hashem's will. But there's also a progression here in terms of the test. See, I would say that the first test by the water, by Mara, that's the hardest test. Why? Because water is a more basic need than bread is. A person can live longer on water without food. So the first test was the most basic form of survival, which is water. Can they, or are they able to, instead of relying on themselves and being anxious and having the fear, are they able to place their security in Hashem with regard to water? And the answer was no. But now we progress to the mon, fine. So they couldn't do that by the water, but maybe by bread, mon, which is a lesser form of survival, it's a lesser need of survival. Still is necessary, but not as necessary as water. Now when we get to the mon, can they do this? And the reason why he's establishing mitzvos is because he wants to, I think part of the test was, can mitzvos function to help man put their security in God to this level? And there's two layers of mitzvahs. The first mitzvah was Al Yoser Mimenu Ad Boker, which is basic, it's very direct. Can you place your security and place your trust in Hashem to the point where you're saying, I'm not going to, you know, leave over for the next day. I'm relying on Hashem to provide me mon the next day. But the next level of the mitzvah of Shabbos, it's even more subtle. It's saying that laced within the mitzvah of Shabbos, which there's an isser of otzah, or there's an isser of collecting, of pulling out things from the ground, laced within that mitzvah, I'm going to add an extra mitzvah, that you can't go out for mon. Can the Jewish people, and they had mon, they also had it from the day before, they had double the mon. So even that's even the least amount of security that they would have to place in Hashem. Because they have food now, they have it, they have double the amount of food, so they were able to see that. And also, it was a mitzvah that wasn't even direct. It was laced within another mitzvah, within Shabbos. So the test was, can they even keep it on that level? And the answer was no. So how am I explaining this? This Rashi. So Rashi is saying that the nature of the test was to test the limit or the capacity of man to recognize and to accept that his survival is primarily tied to Hashem. And the idea was that man or Klal Yisrael, they were incapable. But had they passed these tests, perhaps the system of Torah would be slightly different. Perhaps the system of Torah would have mitzvos that were more directly related to man's security or placing man's security in Hashem, and that ultimately could lead them to a greater level. Now they could not keep that because it was too difficult, and they lost out on that opportunity. But they were given that chance. They were given a chance to demonstrate this and to place that security in Hashem. And they were given, and there was a progression here. We're going from the most basic need of water to mun, which is bread, which is it's a less basic need. And then even further by Shabbos, they already had double the mun. And it was a mitzvah within a mitzvah within Shabbos. Can they keep it in that sense? And the answer was no throughout. So on the one hand, Hashem gets angry. He says, "An ana me'antem l'shmor mitzvah sabbos torasai." But he recognizes he's angry because they didn't fulfill their potential. But the idea of the test was to allow man to see the limit of man's capacity and allow man to make the decision, at least the bechira decision, as to whether they could do this and tolerate this or not. And based on their reaction, it would seem like it would affect the Torah system. It would affect the Torah that was given to them. So that's the approach that I wanted to say for Rashi. Is there anybody following that, or should I repeat it again? Summarize it? Somebody?
I'm just trying to figure out how it affected the Torah. I mean, the Torah was...
I'm saying that the Torah was, the idea that the Torah was created before is an idea that the general principles of the Torah were created before, the general philosophy of the Torah, but it could just be that extra mitzvos or other mitzvos would have been added in a more direct way to challenge man's ability to place their security in Hashem, the way that Mun was set up. But because of the fact that they couldn't tolerate it, that it was omitted from the Torah system. So that's the idea of Ha'ilech B'sorasi Imlo. It's saying that part of the, and that's why this happened before the Torah was given. Mun was necessary, or it was part of the development of the Torah system. That the Torah system could have been different, not fundamentally different, but there could have been aspects of the Torah system that were more significant in terms of directing man's ability to put their security in God, into that, you know, in their energy into God. And because they couldn't tolerate it and it was too hard for them, that's why it was not in the Torah. Those types of mitzvos. Yeah, we have them. We have tefillah, we have sukkos, but they're not to the same level, the same degree at all as the mun was, or as Mara was.
Right. Now, we know that God already knew, obviously, what the outcome was going to be. So
exactly. God already knows. But
obviously, it was for man to realize this.
Exactly.
So that man would realize that what his capacity is, and that he was playing a role in...
Yes, exactly. And man has free choice.
How the Torah was formed for him.
Exactly. Yes. Correct. So
which
man
is parallel in, you know, with Bereshit, that man also had a say or a, you know, part in the development of his own nature.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yes. Very similar. So I'm saying the same thing by the Torah.
That, you know, would make sense. It's parallel.
Yeah. Yeah, so I agree with you. And it's similar, it's very similar, both examples by Bereshit and also over here by the development of the Torah. It seems like before the whole Torah was given as a system, we see that parts of the Torah were given for Klal Yisrael to keep and to be engaged in. And also part of this development was that Klal Yisrael could somehow have or play a role in their own, I guess, in the development of the Torah in some sense. It doesn't mean that the fundamentals of the Torah would ever be different. And the fundamentals and the philosophy of the Torah would always be there, the basics. But in terms of the specifics, in terms of the capacity of the Torah to challenge man's emotions of security, so they played a part in that. They played a role in that. And you see that they weren't able to do that because it was just too hard. It was too difficult. So that's the idea for Rashi. Okay? Anybody else? Everybody, is it clear? But I think also the progression... I think the progression from water to mun is also a good progression because the water is definitely a more basic need for survival, and then mun is less basic because it's bread, although man needs food, but it's less basic. And then the third, the mitzvah of Shabbos, is even less because they had double the mun, so they had enough for today and the next day. And also, it was a mitzvah within a mitzvah, so it didn't even directly challenge. It wasn't even a mitzvah that directly challenged this idea. It was kind of a mitzvah within Shabbos, which would seem to be a more subtle approach at trying to direct their security to Hashem. But they couldn't do that. It was too hard for them, nevertheless. Okay? Yeah, sorry, Naomi, you were going to ask a question?
I do think that I was going to say, do you think it also served to kind of like give them more... More to condition them because it lasted for a long time.
Yeah, that,
to, you know.
Yeah, that is actually, what do you mean by to condition them? Actually, the Rambam mentions that. In the Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam mentions one idea or one possibility, which I don't think we're going to get to the Rambam, but he says that one possibility for the idea of the Mon is that it was to accustom them, because he says anasenu doesn't necessarily mean a test, but it also means to accustom them. So he says that, he basically says that they had to be ready to fight in Eretz Yisrael. So the purpose of the Mon was that it was very difficult for them psychologically and mentally, and they had to be mentally tough. And the Mon made them mentally tough. So that's really one of the approaches of the Rambam, which I wasn't even going to bring in, but it's the same thing that you're saying, really. Okay?
So another thing about, they're like, they went like, compare it to Abraham Avinu when, you know, he was told to go to Israel, and then there was a famine. It seems a little bit like a similar thing, no?
Yeah, very similar. I mean, the idea of putting your, but this is in terms of the nation as a whole. And it calls, funny, it says anasenu, which is singular, but it's referring to the nation as a whole. The nation as a whole, in order, they had to demonstrate this ability, or they were given the opportunity to demonstrate this ability, and they were unable to, but they were given that opportunity by Hashem. And Hashem's angry because they weren't able to keep to this potential, to their potential, but they were given, that was the test. The test was, could they do this? Could they, what was the limit of their capacity to place their, you know, their trust in Hashem? Okay, look at number 10, as a nation, as a whole. Look at number 10 in the Ramban. The Ramban, we'll do the Ramban, and I think that should be the last shita, and maybe I'll mention the Ramban quickly. We'll see. So the Ramban has just a different approach than Rashi, totally. He quotes Rashi in number 10. He says, L'man anasenu ha'yilech b'sorasim, yishmeru mitzvos atzliyos bo shalei yosiru menev l'yatsu b'shabas l'okol loshen Rashi. He quotes Rashi, v'enenu nacho, and this is not the case. So he doesn't like Rashi, as usual, the Ramban. Actually, not as usual, but many times the Ramban quotes Rashi and then he rejects Rashi. Aval hu kemosh amar, he quotes other psukim. Hamachilcha man bamidbar shal lo yodun avasecha l'man anosucha l'man nasosecha l'hetivicha b'achari secha. That Hashem gave the people man in the desert that their forefathers didn't have in order to afflict them and in order to test them, in order to give them benefit in b'achari secha, ultimately. It was a test for them because they didn't have any food. They had no resource for food or for sustenance other than the man. They had no knowledge of the man. They never heard of it. It came every day and they hungered for it. They wanted it very badly. And nevertheless, they still followed Hashem into the desert to a place which didn't have lechem. V'kacha omar lehem od, v'zacharta es kol aderech asher alichacha Hashem elkecha ze arba'im shana b'midbar l'man anosecha l'man nasosecha l'das es asher b'vavacha sishmor mitzvosa avim lo. There's a similar pasuk in Devarim, same thing, that Hashem gave them man in the desert in order to afflict them and in order to test them to find out if they would keep the mitzvos or not. He could have taken them in through the cities, but instead he chose to take them in the midbar, and they followed him. And they had lechem that came from the heavens on a daily basis, l'nasosam, in order to test them, lehitiv lahem b'achrona, in order to benefit them in the end, she'aminu bo l'olam, in order that they believe in him forever. They believe in Hashem forever. And then he says, "Ukfar pirashti inyan hanisayon bepasuk v'halokim nisas Avraham." In the Ramban, he explains what a nisayon is, what a test is, by Avraham. And I put down in number 12 what the Ramban says, and let me just summarize the Ramban. In number 12, he says that a nisayon is that Hashem knows that the person who he's testing is capable of a certain potential, and he gives them an opportunity to actualize that potential and to bring it into action. So, for example, by Avraham, by Yitzchak, Hashem knows that Avraham has the capacity to sacrifice his son, but he's giving him the ability to make the choice and to actualize it, and by doing so, he gives people greater schar. And that's the Ramban's idea of what a nisayon is in the Torah, throughout the Torah. By the Mon, he says that the Mon was also a nisayon, that the people followed Hashem and they followed Moshe into the Midbar without the knowledge of where they were going to get their food from. And that was the Nisayon in order to give them greater benefit. And what was the greater benefit? He says, in order that Shiaminu bo la'olam, that they believe in him forever. Now this is strange to me, because we don't say, where do we see that the Mon is a source of belief in Hashem forever? Where do we always say that that Klal Yisrael, I guess, believe in the Torah system? And, you know, what was the event that really highlights that? It was really Har Sinai. Har Sinai is the event that really highlights Emuna, I guess, in the Torah system. There was a mass revelation. They saw some type of image there of that God created. So there was a mass revelation by Har Sinai, and that's really the basis of our religion. Har Sinai, there's the proof of Har Sinai. The Chinuch uses a proof of Har Sinai. It's one of the foundations of our belief. So what does it mean that the mon, that the benefit of them, or the schar, that they went into the Midbar was Shiaminu bo la'olam? We already have something. We already have Har Sinai to do that. So what does the mon add? What is the schar of the mon, and what does the mon add? I think to answer this, we have to answer that question. What about Har Sinai? Har Sinai is really the source of our belief in the Torah system. So what does the mon really add? So Har Sinai was greater than a nevuah, mass revelation, but it serves as an intellectual basis for our belief. We have the proof of Har Sinai that no other religion has ever had a mass revelation like the Jewish people, and that's one of the main sources for our belief in the Torah system. But that doesn't really affect the psyche as much as a person being dependent on Hashem for his sustenance, his survival. And similar to Rashi, the main idea I think everybody accepts, the main idea of the Mon is that the people had to place their security in Hashem and trust in Hashem for their own survival. Now the Ramban is saying that by doing so, it creates a belief in him forever. What does it mean forever? Even beyond that generation. How does it do that? So there is a concept of a psychological truth or reality. When a nation is first started, a nation is usually premised on a certain psychological reality. If, like the Jewish people started out in slavery, and it affected, the slave mentality was mentioned many times in the Shir, and it affected, the slave mentality is something that permeates not just that generation, but generations following, leaving Mitzrayim. So there's a collective psyche of the nation, of Klal Yisrael. And the idea that the Mon added, that the Torah didn't have, is that the Har Sinai was more of an intellectual experience. It was something that we use in the future, even beyond the point of Har Sinai, to prove the Torah's existence, and it gives us, insight into Hashem. But from a psychological standpoint, in order to develop a psyche or psychological basis in the nation as a whole that would last, that would be everlasting, the Jewish people, through going into the Midbar and putting their trust in Hashem through the Mon, even though they failed initially, it created or established a psychological connection or relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Har Sinai could not establish. Whereas Har Sinai was one element of our Emunah, it's one element, it's the intellectual element of our Emunah, the Mon is really the formation of our psychological bond to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It creates an underlying psychological reality in the nation, and that's why it says Shiaminu bo la'olam. That sometimes the way that a nation is formed, it affects the nation even in the future. So too, if the Jewish people had not gone into had not chosen this and followed Hashem into this path, perhaps they still would have gotten the Torah. They still would have had an intellectual relationship. There still would have been a proof, but in terms of the psychological bond, they would have lacked that. And the idea that the Ramban is saying, that's the Linasosum. The idea of the Nisayon is that Klal Yisrael had this potential to develop this psychological bond to God, to Hashem, and they did develop it through keeping the Mon and keeping the system of Mon and staying in the desert. So the Ramban is really saying a beautiful idea. He's saying that the Mon functions with Har Sinai to provide a complete bond of the Jewish people to Hashem and to the Torah system, an intellectual bond and a psychological bond as well. Even not just now, but even in the future. Just like Har Sinai functions for the future, we use the proof of Har Sinai to prove that the Torah was given to us. So too, the bond that's created through the Mon, it exists even nowadays. It exists beyond, it's a psychological truth and reality that exists within the nation, even beyond that point. Okay, so that's really the Rashi and the Ramban. And the Rambam has one other idea, but maybe we'll save it for a different shiur. Okay, so let me just summarize Rashi and the Ramban for the shiur tonight on Parshas B'Shalach. which is on the test of the mon. Rashi, we developed an interesting concept for Rashi. Rashi ties the test of the mon to an idea of testing human capacity to tie his survival and his existence to Hashem on a daily basis. And there was a progression. You had a test by the water of Mara, and the people were not able to keep to that test, but water is considered the most basic element of survival. And then the mon, which is like is lechem, it's called lechem in the Torah, is less basic. But even there, Hashem gives the people an opportunity to develop or be able to trust in Hashem. And the last, by Shabbos, he even when he places the mitzvah mon within another mitzvah, and they had double the amount of mon, even there, which is a more subtle form of testing, or I guess seeing the limits of their capacity to place their security in Hashem, even there they weren't able to. But I guess the chiddush is that this was part of the development of the system of Torah, that Klal Yisrael were almost part of that development, similar to by Bereishis, that man played a role in his own development. So too over here, Klal Yisrael were given an opportunity by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to play a role in their development. They were unable to because it was too hard for them. But that's Rashi's approach as to the test, Laman Anasenu. And the Ramban, he says another idea, which is, I think, a beautiful idea, that the philosophy of the Man and the purpose of the Man was to develop a psychological relationship to Hashem, as opposed to Har Sinai, which is more of an intellectual relationship. The psychological relationship, which becomes part of the foundation of the nation, because this is the very inception of the nation, it remains with us even beyond that point. But the fact that the Jewish people chose to go into the desert and endure this, it creates a psychological bond that even, I guess, it even exists beyond that point. And that's the idea of Shaminu Bo La'olam that the Ramban says, that it exists even beyond that generation. So Har Sinai and the Man are really, they really function together to create an everlasting relationship to Hashem in Klal Yisrael. Okay, so that's really the shiur tonight. Anybody have any questions? Okay, so everybody have a good night, have a good Shabbos, and yep.